But Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of electing and voting for those to hold office in our nation. And Lord, we look to you for all that we do tonight. May I say the right things the right way, and may it fall upon ears that hear the right way with hearts that are full of understanding. May we all hear tonight what the Spirit of God is saying to the church here in the 21st century with a new president coming into office next year. And Lord, we thank you for the election. We thank you for the process. We thank you for all that's happened. We thank you, Lord, for those that we love that are here tonight and those that are ill, those have been ill, all just God touching their lives in a mighty way. We look to you tonight as our only source, our only strength, and our only refuge. And we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Tonight, we're going to normally be in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the story of David and Bathsheba. With the election and all that's happened, I really felt the Lord speak to my heart this morning to speak about something else. So I pray that your heart is open to what God has given me. You know, I want to make something clear from the very start tonight. I'm not here to talk about who you voted for or didn't vote for, okay? Whether you're a Democrat or Republic, that's between you and God. How's that sound? But I am here to talk tonight about what has happened and what has occurred in our nation. What an incredible election that has taken place. I mean, its historic proportions are just indeed overwhelming. And, you know, what was interesting is I was praying this morning about Lord, because I knew he was quickening me to go in a different direction and not go into 2 Samuel like I just said. And it was interesting that I started receiving one email after another or text after another. And over again, they were saying, Bill, you know what? You're right. It's the year of God's manifested help. His help will be seen. And I knew that's the direction I was already going in. It was a confirmation from the Lord. And, tonight I just want to mention a few things about this. His help, God's help, has now been seen. Here we are at the end. Now, whoever, it doesn't matter, say, well, Bill, I'm a Democrat. Well, God will forgive you, okay? But, but you know, the thing is that when I look at all this and I see what God is doing, I mean, listen, the world, the entire world, especially America, they were in shock. Man, listen, they were all messed up. On my early morning walk this morning, I had a lady, dear, been living there across from me for 30 years, and she said, I've been up all night, Bill. I said, what is it? She said, the stock market fell 800 points, and that's my retirement in there. And I said, her name is Maddie. I said, Maddie, listen, it's going to come back up. Don't worry about it. I said, you should have bet against us. You'd have made a lot of money, you know? So the markets are all in Hollywood. I've never seen Hollywood so silent and so sullen. And not only that, I mean, Lady Gaga is there in front of Trump Tower singing protest songs. I'm going, dear Lord, what a time is this? And then all day long, the news anchors, I mean, have you ever seen, I mean, the picture, I mean, there's no smile on their face. All the news anchors are trying to explain how they got it all wrong. They're trying to explain how the polls were all wrong and so forth. You know, listen, I have to confess in my heart, this is only two things could happen in our nation last night. Either God's manifested help was actually seen in our country, or God is allowing judgment to come. I prefer to think and believe in my heart that his manifested help has come, and I'll explain to you in a moment. Remember the New Year's word that God gave us here from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Whenever Samuel, it says, he took a stone and he set it up there between Mizpah and Shin and called it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. That was the first Sunday in January of this year when I brought forth the New Year's message to you about the year of God's manifested help. And I told you then, as I'm telling you again and repeating it, that I would be very safe to say, well, sure, 2016, 2017, 2018, 19, they're all going to be, if we're here, they're going to be the year of God's help. Amen? I know that would be perfectly, I would be in tune with Scripture. I'd be teaching you absolutely the truth. That is sound doctrine and so forth. But what I told you was is that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me and asked me a question about that verse and said, when or how did my help, how was it manifested? And then, of course, and I was on my early morning walk when that occurred, and I spoke to the Lord back, and I'm not saying I heard a voice or anything or a text came from heaven. You know what I mean? And I said, well, Lord, you thundered from heaven, and man, they just went crazy, confused all the troops and all the things that were happening, you know, because Israel was in a battle and against the Philistines. And then I realized, like I told you, that God's manifested help was heard in the ear, seen with the eye. His help was made visible. You remember that? That's what we were talking about. And so I said, 2016, the Lord has shown me that it's the year of God's manifested help, and his help will be seen, and that has occurred all through the year. I said, I will not define it to the church or to the individual, or nor will I even define it to our nation or whatever it means, because I said, I'm just not sure, but I am sure of this. Whenever God does something that is seen, that is visible, it is always to increase our faith. Amen? So we can say, Lord, we know that you are working. Now, listen very carefully tonight. Over 80% of the evangelicals voted in our nation for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. That is a staggering, unbelievable amount. Now, listen very carefully. Our vice president, or I should say vice president-elect, is a strong believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we know that, amen? Now, our president-elect, according to people like Dr. Jeffress over First Baptist Dallas and Franklin Graham, many, many other pastors, I don't know if you've caught the video of all the people praying for Donald Trump and laying hands upon him and so forth, praying over him is back in September. They all say that Donald Trump is a changed man. It's kind of a slow change in my eyes. However, I'm just being honest. Come on. I mean, we just only had two people to vote for, loved one, okay? And that, you know, according to them and many, many other pastors, they say that he is born again, that he is a believer, and yet he is a young believer, no doubt. There's a lot of things in his past that we despise. There's a lot of things in our past that we despise. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, I don't believe that Donald Trump is some kind of prize, all right? I say that tenderly. I'm not speaking against our future president here or our president, but I do, and I don't even agree with everything that he's said, of course. However, he is our president, and Mike Pence is our vice president. Now, listen, Christian, here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I'm praying through. Here's what I'm trying to grasp and understand tonight. As we will, for example, we have communion set up. And the reason we have special communion tonight is I wanted to join with thousands of churches tonight that are doing the exact same thing to remember him who, amen? That is very important tonight. But here's the thing, Christian, God's help has now been seen in 2016. And you say, well, Bill, how is that? We have two believers in Jesus Christ taking the two highest offices in the entire world. Okay? I look at that and I say, dear Lord, because, you know, You have heard what I've taught over the last 8 years about our nation, the things that are going. The last 8 years under the present administration that we've witnessed our nation slide into darkness and moral failure. It's unbelievable. Our moral compass, it seems, is totally gone. We've witnessed the White House being a rainbow White House where they're calling us the Rainbow Nation. I'm not speaking against any sinful people. I love people. But that was wrong. Not only that, we've witnessed the oldest, unbelievable, I would never think I would ever see it in my lifetime, under the present administration these last 8 years, his slogan was change. Oh my gosh, have we changed? Not speaking against President Obama, but I am speaking for God's word, okay? The oldest institution, marriage, has been redefined right before our very eyes. And not only that, we are now living in a country, in a nation, even where the administration, the office, the White House, has exalted itself above God's very word, while at the same time claiming to love God. I'm not saying he doesn't. But I'm saying that's awful strange to me, exalting that. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation. If we're going to be exalted, if we're going to be raised to honor, it's living right before God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, to any nation. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. For the last 8 years, God's voice has been so faint in our country. I mean, it's been so faint that, you know what, the God's word has been hardly even audible, not only in our nation, in the White House and the Senate and all the rest of it, but even in a lot of churches. It's like, God, or where in the world are you? And we have watched our country the last 8 years move so quickly away from being right with God. The only way for any nation, our nation, to be blessed is for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of that nation. Now, I am not naive enough to believe that that everyone in America is going to believe in Jesus Christ. I know that. But listen to me. Some of you here tonight, I don't know if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I'm not here to judge you, condemn you. I love you. I'm your pastor. But let me say something to you. You know, that's not even the issue tonight. You know, you say, well, man, I have the victory. We won. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I mean, I understand all that, you know, and all that's happened. It's miraculous what has happened. It's miraculous. Believe me. I sounded like Donald Trump, didn't I? No, listen. This is not a time now to relax. This is not a time for us to rest or even revel in what we're saying is a victory. And you say, well, Bill, I didn't vote for Trump. And loved one, listen to me. That is not even the point that I want you to understand tonight. What I want you to understand is that God's help has been seen. And the reason I say that is we have two believers, and one of them doesn't know a thing about politics, okay? Which is, thank God, you know, and they are headed for the White House. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that God has given America a reprieve. I believe God has given us one more chance. Do you understand? I really, really believe that. And that reprieve means that we can't sit back and on our blessed assurances, if you will, and sit in the pew and do nothing. Listen to me. It is time today. It is time, Christian, like never before, to pray. I mean, I don't mean a weekly prayer. I mean to pray with all of your hearts, because prayer is the work, and we must be praying. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Listen, we need to pray without ceasing. If the Bible says, like Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint, not be discouraged, not ever give up. That persistent prayer, that persistent, passionate prayer, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. It's very, very powerful. And we are to be the people who praise. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible about praying and about the land that we live in, an ancient scripture that Solomon used in there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said this, "If my people," God said, "who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, their selfish ways," he says this, God says, "I'll hear you. I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin. I'll heal your land." That's more than removing a drought, okay? That's more than saying, "Oh, you need some rain." No, in other words, the land, our nation full of people, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about trees and rivers. He's saying, "No, listen, I'll heal your nation again." And I know you can say, "Well, Bill, this was God's word to Solomon in the land of that day and time." I understand that. And yes, I know that that scripture has to do with Israel. But I also know this, that this prayer, this promise is a timeless promise given to all believers. We are a new covenant believer. We are his special people just as much as Israel is his special people. Amen? So we can pray this ourselves. But you know what we have to do is we have to be serious now. I'm already praying about the word for 2017. God, November is when I start praying. I start asking and I start seeking. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I would like it maybe if God didn't say anything to me. But no, it's okay. You know, because that was it. That's just another year and God's, you know. But then I've always done that. I don't know why I do that, but it's just the way it is. But you know, if we look back, the words have been right. And I want 2017, that word to be right as well. But you know what? When God says, "If you want me to hear from heaven, you got to turn from your wicked ways, man." That's just the way it is. It says in Psalm 66:18, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God says, "I'm not going to hear you." He won't hear you from heaven. Now listen to me. Prayer is vital now. It is so vital, it's unbelievable. Prayer is really, truly finding the will of God. Prayer is really finding the heart of Christ. Prayer is really letting the Lord move, the Spirit of God move through us and pray through us. Amen? You know, if you would turn in your Bibles quickly, we're not going to be here long tonight, but turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, and let's go to chapter 2, a verse that you know very well, and let's look at something about prayers tonight. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, New Testament, look what Paul tells Timothy here. He says, "Timothy, I exhort, I urge, first of all, three kinds of prayers," you ready? "That supplications, prayer, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for what?" For all men. Now, would that include our president? Yeah, we're going to get to him in a moment. With that, but all men, every person, no matter who they are, all men. Now listen to me. The priority in the church, it says they're first of all. That's the very first thing Paul was telling Timothy, to get this church in order. And he says, boy, you've got to get back to prayer. Now listen, a church that does not pray, a Christian that does not pray is out of order. I'm telling you, prayer is the work. It's the most needed thing today in our country and in the heart of the believer and the home of every believer. Listen, Timothy says to Paul, or Paul tells to Timothy, he says, listen, whatever you do, Timothy, you go out there, you teach these people that prayer must never lose its place. It says, first of all, that means it has to be, prayer must be a priority in our lives. What did Jesus tell us? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these and his righteousness, and all these things," meaning all the things that you need in life, "will be" what? "Added," not subtracted, but "added unto you." Listen, we're living in a time beginning now, and it's going to increase like never before, and that is that the devil, his schemes are designed more and more every day to wear us out, to wear us down, to exhaust us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And you know what I've noticed? That we're all so busy. We're too busy to love one another. We're too busy to have Bible study. We're too busy to have our prayer time. We're too busy to work on our marriage. We're too busy for everything. We're too busy for our children. That's ungodly, and it's wrong. Amen? Amen. Now, Satan wants us to waste our life. Paul said, man, you need to be a praying people. You know what Samuel Chadwick said? Listen carefully. Here it is, the devil's main concern about you praying. Listen carefully. It says, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. When we truly pray in faith, when we pray the will of God, the known will of God, when we say, Lord, you said it, I believe it, that settles it, and now I'm waiting on it to come from the supernatural to manifest itself in the natural. Prayer is when we never give up. It's like the widow who was persistent with the judge. You don't stop praying. You don't ever give up. You don't ever stop praying at all. Listen, here's what must happen in the churches today. We must renew our commitment to be a people that is going to pray. In other words, you set yourself up with your alarm clock, however you do it, whenever, wherever your prayer altar is or your prayer closet, and you set up a time to pray. We don't want to be a type of people that, well, you know, we talk about praying, or we say, you know what, we're a people that we say we believe in prayer, but then we don't do it. Supplications. It says three ways he wants us to pray. Supplications. That means giving specific request unto God. And then he says prayers, meaning all kinds of prayers in general, praying for all specific needs. And then intercessions is where we, through the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God, we get involved in the struggle of others in our prayer time. We start groaning, if you will, whatever is needed, however the Spirit is using us. Look at it again. I exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers, giving of thanks, that attitude of gratitude, if you will, be made for all men. And that's a generic term in the Greek, meaning all men, all women, everywhere. That's the object of our praying, is everyone. Everyone, our nation, the things that are occurring. I mean, my goodness, we look out there in California, they're ready to secede from the nation. I mean, unbelievable the things that are happening right now. Oh, listen, it says here, but we must be praying. And God says, you know what? He says, if you pray, then you'll see what I'm going to do. It'll be manifested to us. Look at verse 2. Here it comes. And we're to pray for all men. And who else? Kings. That means presidents, doesn't it? Okay, and all who are in authority, that means the Senate and the House and Supreme Court and the local governments and so forth, all those that are in authority. And you might be saying, I tell you what, Bill, I think Donald Trump is a vile-mouthed person. Well, he might be. I don't know how vile he is now, but I said he's got some starch in his pants, I'll tell you that, okay? And he's certainly shocked me. But you know what, you may say, I don't like Donald Trump. Well, listen, God doesn't care. You hear me? No, Scripture doesn't say if you like Donald Trump or if you like your president, you'll pray for him. That's not what this Scripture said. It didn't say, you know, if you agree with him, then pray for him. No, it said, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get down on your knees. I want you to know his name. I want you to know his family's name. I want you to know the vice president's name. I want you to know his wife's name and his children's name. I want you to know the Speaker of the House's name. I want you to know the people that are in government that's running, who are in authority in our nation, whether you like them or not, whether you voted for them or not. He says, I want you to pray for them. And if God wants you to pray for them, there has to be a reason why. Amen? Now watch this. Look at this reason. It says, for kings, pray for presidents and all who are in authority, not some, but everybody. Why? That we, the church, we, not the White House, but God's house. It says that we may lead a quiet, oh, thank God, and peaceable, what? Life. Inward and outward. a peaceable life, in all godliness, it says there, in all reverence. You know what this means? Now, I want you to listen to me. God says, I want you to pray for Trump and Pence, Paul Ryan, all the rest of them. He says, I want you to pray for them because you know what? It means this. It means that the peace of our city, it means the peace of our nation is in direct relation to the prayers of the church in America. Do you understand the power that we have? Listen, our president, our vice president must have, the Senate and the House must have the most powerful people on the planet praying for them. And that's us. That's us right there. And listen, we must pray for protection for them. We must pray that they govern with the wisdom of God. We must pray that the Holy Spirit of God is guiding them. Amen. Oh, listen, it says for this praying, look what it says now, for this praying is what? It's good. That word means it's beautiful in God's eyes. It's beautiful. Oh, and acceptable. In other words, it's eagerly accepted in the eyes of God, in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God says, this is good. There's a lot of times we pray in loved one, and it's unacceptable to God. But you know, when you pray here, when you start praying for all men to be saved, you're praying the perfect will of God. You follow me? God wants us to do these things. Listen, God's help has been seen. I believe that with all my heart. We have a new president. We have all what God has done, and we must come into agreement with the Word of God and with God our Father. Go to verse 8. Watch this now. I desire, therefore, that men pray where? Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now listen, God says, wherever you are, you can make it a prayer bench, man. Pray everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. You can pray. Why? Because it keeps you connected with the throne of grace. It keeps you connected with the throne of mercy. It keeps you connected with the throne where all of our help is. Amen. The place where we can obtain that in our life. The place of all power, of all wisdom. The place of all our provision. The place where prayers are answered. Now, as communion is getting ready to be passed out, please. And as we get ready for communion, I want you to listen carefully to me. Something has happened. Let me back up. When I look at things that are occurring, I don't look into the natural. I try to look into the supernatural. Does that make sense? I mean, the thing that's happened in our nation, I look and I say, Lord, what's going on? What are we doing? Where are we going? Lord, what's getting ready to happen? You know, I mean, I look and I say, this is the church's opportunity to really start praying for these people, our new president and vice president, okay? You see, our nation voted for political change. You understand? They're tired of the establishment. They're tired of politics. The common people, of course, Hillary said it was the deplorable people, but it says the deplorable, uneducated people voted for Trump. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess I am pretty deplorable, but I can read and write, you know, and I do have God, the God of all wisdom. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So listen, our nation voted for political change, but see, we have to pray now because God's opened a door for spiritual change. Do you understand the door that God has given unto us? I mean, I look at it and I'm going, Lord, you've got to be kidding. You mean we're going to have two believers. We have 24 pastors that are surrounding him from all over America that are meeting with him and speaking into his life. Are you following me? Not that I agree with every one of those pastors any more than they agree with me. But I believe they love the Lord, man. And I'm looking at all that's happening. And you know, I look and I say, Lord, I want to pray for spiritual change. I want to see a revival one more time in my lifetime. Amen. Before I go home. Yes. I want to see it, and I have seen revival. I know what it smells like, looks like, and tastes like. Yes. I know the change that it brings to a person's life and to a nation. And tonight, you know, as we proclaim our unity together, it is so important that we pray for the unity, because our nation is divided and it needs to be brought together. It needs to be healed. It is my prayer tonight as we celebrate communion, as we look back, we look forward, we look within, we do everything that we do in remembrance of the one who loves us and gave his life for us. Amen. That we commit ourselves, that you make a commitment to yourselves. You write down the names of the Senate. Print it out, it's easy to get. The Supreme Court justices, the House, the Senate, the Vice President, Speaker of the House, over all of it. Pray over them. Have it printed out in wherever you pray, wherever it is. Lay your hands on it. You know what I mean? Say, Lord, bless these people. Help them. Help our nation again. Help our nation one more time. You know what? I'm telling you, prayer changes things. When we start getting in agreement, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The church in agreement with heaven. Amen. When we start saying, Lord, we're coming into agreement with you. So tonight, as I celebrate communion with you, a special night as we celebrate communion with Christians all over America tonight, all over America, they're thanking God that we are the church. They're thanking God, of course, for taking our sins. But they're thanking God tonight for giving America another chance. Listen to me now. I know that some of you are young and maybe you don't fully grasp everything, and I'm not saying that you're not grasping it. But if we had 8 more years of what we had just had, America would never recover. Do you hear me? There would be an impossibility for America. Our federal judges and our Supreme Court judges would be picked now, which they don't even believe. You know what I'm saying. We've been given an opportunity, an unbelievable election has taken place. I mean, the whole world is in shock. Unbelievable. God has opened a door one more time. Out of his grace and his love. I'm not saying I agree with him and all this, but I'm saying we have a chance now. He's given us a chance. And I tell you, if we will do our part, if we will commit our hearts to prayer, really pray, cry out to God, I'm telling you, it's going to change. We're going to see things that we never believed. Who knows what God will do? I'm telling you, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we hold the bread, we hold the cup. I celebrate with your people. Lord, our unity, I proclaim our unity and beg you, O God, that there is spiritual unity in our nation, that our nation is coming back together. It's no longer, don't let it be divided, O God, but let our nation somehow, some way become one man again, united like we are, the church. And Lord, do great things. Jesus, our Savior, we look back and thank you for all that you've done. You died for us. You took our sin. You made us new creations in Christ. The cup that we hold, oh God, oh, the blood of the new covenant. Our sins far as the east is from the west, oh Lord. We look back, we look ahead, because we're going to drink this cup and eat this bread and proclaim it until you come for us. And Lord, not only that, we look within our hearts tonight. Forgive us, oh Father. Cleanse us. If we've sinned by word, deed, thought, action, quenched, grieved, or vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, we repent. We repent. We stand before you uncondemned because of the blood of Jesus. And we love you, we praise you tonight as we partake now of the bread. In Jesus' name, let us partake. We thank you, Lord, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let us partake in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to close out tonight for us bowing our heads and praying now for these two men, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, to pray for them. Let's pray right now. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. For Donald Trump and for Mike Pence. For these two men that our nation believed who would never win this election. It is our prayer tonight, O Father, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. Would you make them your messengers? Make them your messengers, O God, for good and not for evil. I pray, we pray, oh God, tonight for Donald Trump and Mike Pence, that you would fill their hearts with deep humility. Oh God, that they would be humble people. And God, we pray tonight for them, that you would grant them divine favor with all men, but especially with foreign nations, and that you would keep us from war, but yet destroy the enemy that has destroyed so many believers in the world. Father, that you would grant them, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, that you would grant unto them wisdom for our inner cities and for all the things that they must deal with across our great nation. And would you, Father, grant unto them and give unto them, beginning this very moment, ears to hear what the Holy Spirit of God is saying today. And that you would surround them, O Father, with men, godly men and godly women that are filled with your wisdom from above, that walk in the Spirit, who live in the Spirit, and who are not afraid to speak the truth unto them. And God, I pray tonight as we pray, we stand upon your word, that you would give unto them Trump and Pence. O God, that you would give them courage to do the right thing, even when they're urged to do the wrong thing. God, that you would do that tonight, that you would protect them, that you would protect their families and their children, and that you would build a hedge of protection around them tonight. And Father, we pray that you would make America great again by making America godly again. We pray for that tonight. We love you. We honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? God is good. Amen. Prayer. Prayer is the work. I know in the morning you're going to pray, right? You're gonna have their names down, their families down. You're going to do some research. We're going to truly pray. I feel like calling a night of prayer every night of every week. I'm serious. Where we pray for our nation. We pray and truly pray. Listen, this is the breakthrough. This is the moment. I'm not saying I agree with all of what they do. That's not it. But we have two believers that are going to the White House. The door has been so open for us. Amen. That means that we can fight abortion. Do you understand? Yes. If we have someone there who says, no, it's wrong. No, we don't want it anymore. You see, things could change if you will pray for your country and for those that God has put in authority. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you tonight. If you need prayer, you know we're going to be here to pray with you. God is so good, isn't He? He's so good. Let's sing to the Lord.